morning, everybody. Welcome in.
Good morning.
It's been a while. Yeah, Jeremy and I have been in Africa.
Yep.
On the other side of the world. It was busy. It was busy, but it was really good. So even if you're listening from Africa, because we did have a few people that said they were going to start listening. So that's exciting. So if you're listening from Africa, hold on. Enjoy your dinner, because it is 5 p.m. there. All right. Unless it's, no, it's supper there. Well, I don't remember. Anyway, what'd you think of Africa? Hot take. Just kidding.
It was awesome.
Why'd you have to think about it?
You said hot take, and for some reason, like, one word response came into my brain. I was like, what's a one word? But I had a great time. It was beautiful weather, beautiful place. Ministry was absolutely incredible. Genesis itself, what they're doing is awesome. Their whole campus, everything that they're doing to the community is just beautiful. And then just, I think the culture and the people and the food, everything there is just super cool.
Yeah.
Super, super cool.
Who do you miss the most? Don't worry, they're not listening. I'm just kidding.
Who do I miss the most? Yeah. My boy, Sia.
Yeah, we do miss
I miss Sianda so much.
We miss Sianda. Sianda was our driver. Is our driver.
He is. He will forever be our driver.
He will forever be our driver, because we're going to request him when we go back. But
every year.
Apparently, I was talking to my dad yesterday. These are the people that you don't know. So Sianda and David. So David was my dad and Grant and all there. He was their driver.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Super cool people. Some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. But yeah, it was eye-opening. I mean, it definitely, it always is, but it definitely reveals, you know, when you start to think about, is ministry effective? They define that very differently than most American churches. And so we actually are going to be meeting this week. I've called a meeting this week for our pastors to get together and talk about an outreach strategy. And I've got a few ideas that we might be rolling out. Because again, if like when you ask the question, if your church went away, two questions, would the community know? Would they notice? And then why would they notice? Those two questions. And I think, like, if Genesis went away, yes, the community would know.
Huge.
And I think the number one thing that they would notice, the number one thing that they would notice is that absence of love like Jesus does. And I know that sounds cliche, but seriously, like, when they're doing community care, which is like hospice in-home health care, they're straight singing worship music to the ladies and gentlemen that they're working with, right? Mm-hmm. When they go to these schools and offer food, they're doing a Bible story for them. Yeah. And it's funny because, like, technically they're not listed as a Christian organization with them, but while they have them there, they know that the kids are going to come for food. So we're going to tell you about Jesus, you know? So yeah, absolutely effective for the gospel. Yeah. Going on a 2-mile prayer walk. What'd you think of that?
Oh, it was a blast. I thought it was so cool. The fact that, like, one, we were with Senzo, which I miss Senzo too. Mm. He was keeping track of all the people that we prayed for. And it was literally just like anybody that we could like pray for, like go and pray for. And even like when we hit the work rush and a lot of people, like, they couldn't sit there and pray, they were still like, hey, can you pray for me? And we just stood there and prayed for them, even though they walked away. It was really, really cool. And then to have one of the girls come up and be like, how many people did you pray for? And I was like, 3. And she was like, dang it. And then, like, she saw someone, immediately took off towards him. And I was like, the fact that I was like, she's like competing, like trying to outdo one another in the work of the Lord. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, immediately got me like, okay, I gotta keep going. Like, I gotta, let's go.
Well, and it made me think about, like, you know, cause the thing about South Africa, if you've never been, you should go. But the thing about where we go in South Africa is most people walk, not a lot of people drive. And we actually found out that it's pretty expensive to get your driver's license out there, but a lot of people walk. And so what happens is, I think that's why we had that opportunity. And it did make me think, okay, if we were going to do a prayer walk in our community, where would we go? Because I think so many people are just like inside. They go home, they're inside, they work inside.
I think the best place would be the mall.
But that's like,
that's hard.
that's like the front lines of battle, man. Yeah. Like, you got to wear a flak jacket over there.
Yeah.
Plate carrier. We're going to hand out ministry plate carriers.
My favorite thing that I loved about how they they do ministry is, I think so much over here in our culture, it's like, well, we need this to do this. We need this to do this. We have to get that, where over there, it's like, we have this, so let's do this.
Yeah.
We have this, so let's do this. Mm-hmm. So much of it, they don't even look at like, oh, well, we need that to do that, as much as, well, we have this, so let's do that with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about what you have. It's about how you use what you have. Yeah. And I noticed that too, like as they build ministry buildings, I mean, how many buildings did we walk into that had AC?
Zero.
None. Right. And so you think about like, well, we can't build, you know, like I was even just talking about, you know, this back lot over here and how maybe we can't sell because we're supposed to use it. Right. Just to kind of faithfully invest in that field. And one of the biggest problems as we've started going to the city council meetings, one of the biggest problems that we saw in our community is the elderly. There's not enough elderly housing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have access to a lot of support out here. And that kind of made me think, and we're going to be talking about a couple of strategies that we can roll out early on, more simple strategies. But man, how cool would it be if in that back lot, you had tiny homes that the elderly could could rent or whatever it may be. And so it does make you think like, yeah, are we being the presence of Jesus to our community? And are we just as active in Jerusalem as we are in the ends of the earth? And so, yeah, it was a good trip, but, now trying to get back into the grind, after 2 weeks of, it's funny, Manny was like, so what are we doing in the podcast on Tuesday? And I was like, oh yeah, we gotta do that. So glad to be back with you guys. We do have, just a couple of stories, no questions, from this week from you guys, but a couple of stories. First one, the Pour Over News, go check them out. They have a podcast. Did you guys know that? You can also check out the Pour Over News podcast. It's really cool. I would say listen to both. Don't just abandon us to go listen to them. But we like to use their content because they're very appreciate them. Yeah, we appreciate them. But Sean Lennon and James McCartney released a song together. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds weird. I didn't mispronounce that. It's not John Lennon. It's Sean Lennon, which I think is very funny that name was chosen. And their daughter, Dawn. And they have a nice lawn. And sometimes they yawn. Anyways.
Okay. And it goes on. Can we not?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And it goes on and on. But Sean Lennon and James McCartney, that's John Lennon and Paul McCartney's children? Grandchildren? Something. I can't remember what the story says. But anyways, their relatives have released a song together. And then there's also Ringo Starr has released an album. And I guess they're going to be doing something for the Beatles on Disney Plus. So the Beatles are coming back, you know? You can't kill those Beatles. But it did make me think. I got all in this, like when I read that story, I did get all nostalgic on music.
Yeah.
Right? Because music today is just terrible. It's like Taylor Swift.
And
Hillsong. That's it.
It's bad.
Yeah. And I really do. Like, I miss the old Air One. Like, I miss when you have you're talking about Christian radio. I miss, like, okay, K-Love, that was the worshipy stuff for your mom and dad.
Yeah.
And then Air One was like Toby Mac, Reliant K, Switchfoot, Skillet,
yeah,
like all that stuff. Man, I remember like, yeah, but like Red, like screaming music, you know? And I miss that. And it's not like that music has gone away. Like if you follow our playlist on Spotify, we've got tons of stuff in there. There's still great Christian music in every single genre that you can imagine. It's just not played on the radio anymore. And I really like, man, I just feel like music is just going downhill.
Even secular music is like,
yeah,
kind of boring. Like,
yeah,
most radio stations play the same 10 songs 20 million times.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, and you're like, yeah, okay.
And I am one of those country music fans, but not everybody's gonna hear that and roll their eyes. I'm like an Alan Jackson, Toby Keith, may he rest in peace.
Well, even country now is like,
it's awful.
It's just Southern rock. You like, know, that's all real
and rap.
Modern.
Dude, they,
country is.
And very blatantly using auto-tune in country music. Really? Where it's supposed to be a like raw, backwoods kind of inspiration.
Yep.
They're using auto-tune and rap. It's like, this is awful. But what was the earliest band or artist you can remember liking?
Ooh. Earliest.
The Wiggles? Okay,
the Wiggles.
Don't go that far back. I mean, like, you know, when you were a youth. This is the NG podcast.
This is going to sound weird.
Okay.
Not really. Sorry,
that
my brain
sound weird.
Yeah. So I would, the songs that I listened to a lot were like when I was in the car with my dad driving around.
Okay.
So a lot of the stuff that I listened to when I was younger was just all my dad's music.
Like Shania Twain?
I'm going to say like one of my favorite bands that I remember liking when I was younger was Godsmack.
Okay.
And I was like really weird, but like. Probably like 12 later elementary school, I loved Godsmack.
Sing a little for us. I'm just kidding.
Like Stand Alone, yeah, like okay. A bunch of those songs.
Bo's singing it over there.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great song. That's one of his newer songs, yeah. But like some of their old stuff, like I loved Godsmack back in the day. And I was like,
Godsmack.
Some of their songs aren't like the best.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Like one of them my dad just watched because... He loved watching the music videos because my dad came from the MTV.
Well, he's a stagehand. So,
the MTV kind of era.
Yeah.
So my dad, one, doesn't have Spotify. He uses YouTube. So does my brother. Nice. They just have music playlists on their YouTube. But like we watch the music videos all the time. And one of the songs was literally just a collage of UFC fights. And so like my dad, and of course me, I love that.
Yeah.
So like some of my earliest favorite music was Godsmack.
I remember the music video era. I remember like it was really big when what's the song? I can't remember what it's called, but basically this music video came out where they had choreographed this whole dance on treadmills. What do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It was really viral. It was before like, you know, TikTok. It was before Vine. It was just kind of earlier on with YouTube when things started to go viral. And this band, dang it, what was it called? They did this whole song, and they had a huge choreographed dance together, and it was just like four treadmills side by side, and they sang their song, and it was like a huge hit. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay, Godsmack. Anybody, Bo or Manny, any music preferences? Manny's like, I was a huge fan. Of Teletubbies. Yeah, okay, go. Yeah, what was the name of the song? Here It Goes Again. Yeah, you never heard that song? I don't know the word.
What year was that? Okay.
Quiet.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, go. What's the name of the song? Here It Goes Again? So look it up. Okay, go. Here It Goes Again. Look up that YouTube. You know, the music video is good. It's a good one. It makes you want to go to the gym and start dancing on treadmills. What they did on treadmills was pretty impressive. I'm just going to put it out there. But I can't believe you guys didn't hear. Well, okay. Wait, how old were you 15 years ago?
I was 6.
Shut up. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
Man. 15 years ago, that was 18. Wait. Yep.
Yeah.
I was 18. That's really okay. Anyway, we're gonna move on. I'm dating myself. Man, early on, Manny. Nickelback? No?
Yeah, he said yeah.
Look at this grab. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like that era of 80s parents. Like 70s and 80s parents played that music for their kids. Yeah, like that was not abnormal.
Well, especially my dad being a stagehand, that's all.
Oh, yeah.
He listened to his 80s rock and
yeah.
So Motley Crue, Metallica, Aerosmith. Like I grew up listening to all of that.
Yeah, dude, I grew up. What bands? Okay. Yeah, The Cure. Okay, yeah. Yeah, and like I grew up like listening to some of that stuff. Most of what I listened to was like the older country, like that older 80s country. Where it was like really, really hitting its stride, so to speak, when it was actually country.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, man, I remember growing up on that. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
What album? Do you remember?
Eye on It.
Okay.
My mom had the Eye on It CD.
See,
that one was
my first Toby Mac album was Diverse City. And I remember when we got to, so by the way, you're a former Fuge staffer. When we used to go to Fuge, the Fuge staff, like on the opening day, they had like a choreographed dance that they would do. So, like that, like Bible study leader rally.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would like open it up with like a choreographed dance and they did it to Diversity.
We used to do that for variety show
My first year at camp. I remember the dance too. Anyway.
That's crazy.
Okay. So Toby Mac. Yeah. Like what was the first CD you bought? Do you remember? Like the first CD you remember buying?
I didn't know if I bought a CD.
You're not that young. CD? What? Okay. Is it the You Can't Stop Me? Is it that one? Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. Andy Mineo. All right.
I don't think I've ever bought a CD in my life, to be honest. Like a music CD.
You've never like purchased an album? Maybe not like the CD, but like, yeah.
Even digitally, I never bought music, to be honest. Really? I never downloaded.
You just
or
always
bought
use the streaming era.
Either that, or like, I just listened to whatever because my mom and dad always had booklets full of CDs.
Yeah. Dude, I found mine
under
the other day.
Driver's seat was always a booklet with like 50 CDs.
Yeah, dude, I found mine.
Yeah.
So we're moving. And so we're like going through all of our stuff. I found my CDs the other day. Man, it was like a walk. I remember having to drive trying to change CDs. And I remember like, oh, dude,
you
want to
talk about
dangerous.
Phones now?
Yeah. Talk about distracted driving. CDs you're like holding the wheel and you're like putting a CD in your mouth while you're trying to, you know, slip in the next one. But dude, I remember that. I remember my dad's truck had a 6 CD changer. It was like, oh, man, you could load 6 CDs.
You could load that sucker up for a road trip and just touch the next one.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
That's like the end of Cars.
Yeah.
Like the car that has like the record player in the back of it. Yeah. Like, we got a nodder. Anyways.
We got a nodder.
You bought vinyl? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like,
I'm starting to click vinyl.
Yeah, that's trendy, right? That's trendy right now. My brother has a record player. Vinyl is trendy. So when I was growing up, this is how much of a nerd I was. I liked listening to like movie soundtracks.
That's my brother.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Moana.
Okay, no, like...
No,
like
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
I was like, really, I love listening to that music. Not lyrics, just like, you know, the orchestral music and stuff. And I remember my dad had DC Talk albums. He had Audio Adrenaline albums. I remember Audio Adrenaline Underdog. I can remember riding through...
My brother's obsessed with the Kill Bill soundtrack.
Kill Bill. Yeah, you're obsessed with the Halo soundtrack. You were singing that
honestly
in Africa. But yeah, the first CD I remember buying, we were at a Christian bookstore because I had like a CD player. It had the anti-skip feature, which was basically a little tiny sponge that they put in there to didn't work. I had Jesus Freak. I had Underdog.
Yeah,
I had
Jesus
Supernatural.
Freak.
By DC Talk. But the first one I remember buying was called Plus One. Was the name of the group, and it was their album Exodus. And there's actually a few songs from that album on our youth playlist.
Really?
If you want to go check it out. Oh yeah, and it's super cheesy. It's they weren't a boy band, but they looked like that. That makes sense. They had like, it was like the emo hair era,
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, like over their eyes and that kind of, yeah, like the Justin Bieber kind of look. But they had electric guitar. So it was like you took a boy band and a rock band and like...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. It was just, I wanted to be cool. And so I wanted more CDs. And I remember like that Christian bookstore, they had a clearance section. And I was like, oh, I'll check this one out. And I got them all loaded up onto my iPod Shuffle, which you used to hang on a necklace. They would give you a little necklace.
I had my like little CD cube drive. One.
No. These were like this long.
No, I had the tiny one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Grant.
And I had like 3 songs on it because I didn't want to buy more stuff on iTunes. And so I had like 3 songs and that's all I'd read.
Wow. Yeah. I remember like they got tiny. The Shuffles, they got super tiny. But
yeah.
My brother went to CBU and they sold them in the bookstore. And he had obviously discounts on there. And so he got me one, a little iPod Shuffle, and I remember loading that thing up. But you could, there's no screen, so you were like, "Well, should I have to search through it, or just, you know, change the order on your iTunes?" But Yeah, literally just hit shuffle. That's where the name comes from. But yeah, Plus One Exodus. But the earliest band that I remember like really liking, I still like them. It's Reliant K.
Yeah.
Huge fan of them, and they're actually one of the inspirations for one of my other favorite bands, which you like too, is Colony House. Colony House is technically a secular band. They're not a Christian band. But they've started to appear in some Christian artists' music.
Yeah.
Like John Foreman. I heard a song just the other day. John Foreman, he's the, not George Foreman. That's the guy that made the grill. The one that burned Michael Scott's foot.
Yeah.
Breakfast in bed.
I like to wake up to the smell of cooked bacon.
But John Foreman, who's the lead singer of Switchfoot, he was coming out with a lot of solo stuff, and Colony House appeared in a few of those songs.
That's cool.
Super cool.
Yeah,
they went on tour with Switchfoot, but yeah, so good bands. So what music? What's your go-to if it's like working out, working outside, like you just got to like pedal to the metal, hand to the plow, like you got to get stuff done. What is your go-to type of music?
If I'm getting under that bar, about to squat like 315. No.
That's a squat 315. Okay.
Hey, at one point, we loaded up the deadlift. What was it, like 405? Like something. I went to hit it, failed. I was like, dang. They're like throwing the Katy Perry. So I throw in the Katy Perry. Not because it's Katy Perry for hype music. It's because I solely cannot stand her music and the hatred for it made me mad. And I freaking deadlifted that bar.
Okay.
I did. Okay. Manny can witness. That bar went up.
Okay. That bar went up.
Yeah. So.
Oh, you raise me up. Yeah.
Russian EDM.
What is it? Russian EDM. Russian. Yeah, we got it. We got it. Okay. Russian EDM.
Going ham. Some of those songs go crazy. Not what I was
expecting. Okay. I was like in the era of Bass Hunter. So before it was like EDM, whatever. It was just techno. And I remember Bass Hunter was like the big one. Like Sandstorm.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bass Hunter. But they had a couple of Russian songs. Mm. I don't know if he was Russian, or maybe he just thought it sounded cool. But anyway, okay, Russian EDM. Okay.
Or so like, now, there's a lot of like remake songs that they turn like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
I like.
There's one Goku one that I have that's fire.
Gosh, man. And that's what's so funny is like being a kid of the '90s. It's so funny to me that like all of these, everybody is assuming that Dragon Ball. Somebody was just talking to me about that, as if it's new. I'm like, no. Naruto, Dragon Ball, all of that.
No, it's been around since the 90s.
But they've made a comeback, and they're like, no. Dragon Ball, it's like from our era. I'm like, no, your era stole that from mine. You guys are thieves. Can't come up with your own stuff, so let's just remake the old stuff.
Well, it's not the fact that they've been it's just been going on for so long.
No, it hasn't. It's just fairly new. Anyway, so
it's just kids are dumb and don't know.
Hey, and I'm gonna say like
has been going on for the last 20 years.
I would tell you that like old is a state of mind. Age is just a number. That's what I would tell people. We observe that in Africa, man. Like Ma Penny, like community care team. Ma Penny is the one that leads it. She's like the main nurse social worker.
Yeah, she's cracked.
This woman's in her 60s, walking up mountains to do healthcare for people, and then gets up there and sings to them. Like, yeah. I'm sorry,
we get done with like no four retiring. Patients, and we're like. It's like almost noon. We're like, how many do you do a day? She's like, at least 12. We
have 12, 15. We're like, wow, every day. Man, anyways. Okay, mine, I have an alternative hits. So like, yeah, that Colony House, Vinyl Theater. Vinyl Theater is one of my favorite.
Vinyl Theater is a good one.
Is one of my favorite bands. And are we all right? We having technical difficulties? Oh, you can hear me?
Oh.
Oh, did our battery die? Oh, well, if you can still, they can still hear us. So now it's an audio, but now you can see us. Now we can't. Okay, well, you can still hear us. It's all right. But yeah, so that like alternative hits music. Thankfully, most of our listeners are Spotify anyways. So. Mm-hmm. There's a Vinyl Theater is one of my favorite groups. There's a song called New Machines It's just really
built
good.
By new
yeah.
machine.
When you say if we were built by a new machine. No.
Okay.
Yeah, on the front. On the back. Oh. Top knob on the back. To my right. That way.
Yes.
That better?
Mine good?
A little more. Better? Okay.
Mine's okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so those alternative hits, Butchfoot, Colony House, Reliant K, I'm really hoping that. I mean, they've been touring, which they've been around for
ever.
So Switchfoot, too. They've been around forever.
Long time.
Man, it's really sad when you start watching your bands from like that you really like and they look old. Gosh, like I saw an interview with George, dang it, with John Foreman. I saw an interview with John Foreman and I was just like, what? Like, he was, like, the young, cool surfer, and now he's got wrinkles. Like, what happened? Like, what happened? Do I have them?
No, oh, no. But the fact they're still going is
awesome.
Dude,
it's so cool. He's still doing backflips on a stage. I'm like, man, talk about an inspiration. George Foreman, George Foreman. What a guy. Just kidding. He's still grilling, you know? What about you, Manuel? Thanks for fixing us up, by the way. Hopefully. Witchfoot and Red. That's Red's still one. Around? You're still doing new music? We've got them on our next gen playlist. Yeah, I remember their first album. I heard the first time I heard Red was on Air One. Yeah, screaming and all of that stuff. I was like, man, POD was on there. Dude, what happened POD to the Air One? Like, and it, what's sad is like it. I know it's still there. Yes. No, it's here. Here's what's so dumb to me. It's there. So K-Love and Air One are owned by the same company.
Yeah.
Tell me this marketing strategy. Hey, how about this? Instead of appealing to two generations, we're going to appeal to one, and we're going to put that same content on both radio stations. We're going to pay for two radio stations and make them carbon copies.
Yeah, they Brilliant. Basically play the same thing now.
I just, like, I don't understand the strategy. And, like, if they do play... you know, Red or whoever, it's like a super slow, mellow song. And I'm like, what? And then people complain about what they're listening. Yeah, because you took away the, yeah, you know, that's why we should start a the new NG radio station.
Especially with like Christian music. I miss the era of like the screamo Christian music where the rock Christian music, where I feel like everything is like now Maverick City Hillsong, where it's like
on the radio.
It's cool, like great music. But it's a 14-minute song that's like all ad lib and.
Yes, we get it. You like, turn graves into gardens a lot.
I understand. And you're like.
But and that's so funny because like now that we're doing like with our loop tracks, I have to take out 1,000 bridges when I buy them.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of them. But
doing tracks for actual church is like.
Can't do that.
Nope,
just take all those
that.
Out. And then, like, in practice, like, sometimes I forget to edit the arrangement. And so
we
I'm just like, sorry, guys.
For, like,
just do what they say.
Measures, and we're like,
just follow the man. Follow the teleprompter.
In, and then we're like, damn.
Nope, here we go. Okay. No. And I missed it. But the thing is, those bands are still around. And that's what gets me is, like, Ashes Remain is a great, like, what you're talking about. They're, like, Linkin Park style, right? Mm-hmm. So they still have, like, kind of the screaming and the singing. But they're still around. Like, that's what frustrates me so much is that all these kinds of bands are still around. And people are like, well, radio is dead. No, did you know that radio is still the number one form of advertisement to this day? Is AM and FM radio. And so, anyway. So whatever music inspires you, motivates you, whatever it may be, know that there will still come a day when... Taylor Swift will do a reunion tour. You will feel old.
That's facts.
Or a reunion album. I will say the best reunion album I've ever heard was by the Eagles. You know, the classic, yeah. It was called Hell Freezes Over. And the reason why I'm jealous. But the reason why they called it that was because when they originally broke up, what are you waving at? Oh, it's warm. Okay. I don't think this is going to help cool it down.
Depends over there.
But when you, when they were originally like being done and they asked, like, will you ever do a reunion tour? They said, yeah, when hell freezes. And then they did one. And so they called the tour Hell Freezes Over. And their version of Hotel California on that tour, they had a, like a vinyl string guitar. Mm-hmm. It is so good. That's the best reunion album I've ever heard.
That's sick.
But anyways, moving on before our camera burns to the ground. And if we lose it, well, we'll pick back up next week. Yeah, we'll use a webcam. We'll use a selfie camera. And we'll just do the podcast like this. If you're listening, you don't really notice it this anyways. But we got some education woes. And I think we can still throw up the graphic for this here. But the Education Department finalized controversial tweaks to Title IX on Friday. The new rules prohibit discrimination based on gender identity. That's the bad news. But the good news, notably, the new policy does not forbid schools from banning transgender athletes as originally proposed. So here's what that means. Schools are not allowed to discriminate based off of whatever you identify as, but then they are allowed to discriminate between transgender athletes. So
yeah,
they still can tell you no, even if you identify as a girl, you cannot play this sport.
Yeah. So when it still comes to the sports, there's still that defining line where they say you can't.
Yeah.
You can still forbid it.
So we can and can't, right? And so with this story, and again, like, sometimes when I think of these things, and I don't want to be insensitive at all. And again, like, we're going to be talking about that very thing of being sensitive to the world around you, because again, you can't expect lost people to not act lost, right? And so when there's darkness in the world, don't be surprised when people choose darkness. If they don't have Jesus, if they don't have the Holy Spirit, then they have no reason really to choose that path. So, but when it comes to this stuff, whether, you know, it just, for me, it amazes me that there's even a consideration of allowing someone that is born one gender to just walk into whatever bathroom they want, or allowing someone who was born as another gender. Like, that makes me, like, you know, my daughter Kennedy, she's getting to the point where by herself, she doesn't need our help, but it's still like, I don't want to send her into a bathroom alone because of all this kind of stuff, you know, because anybody can quote unquote claim anything. And so with all these things, like, sometimes it just amazes me what things are actually considered.
Sorry, I have to take something.
He's got to take out. But what's incredible to me is what people consider sometimes, right? The fact that this is even a thing amazes me. And so for us as Christians, a lot of these things can be really annoying, right? Like, a lot of these things can just be like, you know, I'm going to roll my eyes. And so really, like, what we're talking about, especially with stories like this, what we're talking about is, what does the Bible say our response to these issues should be? Because I think we're aware of what the Bible would say about transgenderism, right? And the Bible says God created them male and female. He created them. Point blank. You are created male and female. You also have verses that say, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, right? So God knew you, right? We don't get to identify ourselves. God identifies us. And that's actually a good thing, because our identity is in Christ, not in anything that we have to decide. And so when we consider these things, I want to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4 in terms of what our response, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ Jesus. And I want to focus on that first part, speaking the truth in love, because again, when it comes to this kind of stuff, we know what the truth is. We know what the Bible would say, and even modern science knows what the truth is. But I think what's most important is not how we air that truth to a world that is just very confused and very lost. Instead, what Paul is teaching us in Ephesians is to speak the truth in love. How do we do that, right? When we are annoyed, when we are frustrated, when people are getting offended. I remember seeing a meme not too long ago that said, pretty soon you're not going to be able to make fun of yourself without offending someone else. Right. Like I feel like we're kind of getting to that era. Do you disagree? Like, I feel like it's getting to that point. And so as we get annoyed or just frustrated and you see people, making bad decisions, that you know is not truth, that you know is wrong, what should our response be? And it should be, if we are going to speak the truth, we speak that truth in love. Because again, we cannot expect lost people to act anything other than lost, right? And if in reality, when we get annoyed by people, when we roll our eyes by people in the world making bad decisions that are, I just don't understand how you can even think that. I mean, now you get to understand God a little bit more. Because like a lot of times we make decisions and God is probably sitting there going, what the heck? Like, you know what the truth is. You know what these things are. And so what do we do? So what does that actually look like? And the number one thing, the number one reason why I think we should talk about this is because we need to remember that whatever your stance is, especially in political views, whatever your stance is politically, and however you take that stance can either build up your witness or it can tear it down. It doesn't matter what your opinion is on any issue. We love to share our opinions. In fact, Proverbs talks about and warns about people that just love their own opinions, right? But the way that we share our stance, it's okay to have convictions. It's okay to have opinions as long as they're informed by truth. But also how you show those opinions matters. Because of our witness, it's either going to build it up or tear it down. So what is our witness? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he's going to go up in heaven. It says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So a witness, if you think of like a courtroom, a witness is a person that is going to offer a defense for something that they either saw or didn't see. And so when Jesus is talking about being witnesses, what he's saying is you're gonna be my witnesses to the world. You are going to tell the world about me, what you've seen, what you've heard. You're going to be my witnesses. And so when I'm talking about it's either going to build up or tear down your witness, I want you to imagine you're on trial. And it is your opportunity to call a witness to the stand in defense for you. Who would you want to come defend you in a courtroom? It would probably not be a person who is known as being loudmouth, rude, arrogant, selfish, a liar, angry all the time. Like, that's probably not the witness that you would want on the stand.
Yeah, you want the guy that's organized, put together, knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Can present a case in one benefit to you that will ultimately have that evidence.
And do so gently. Mm-hmm. You know, I just got a jury.
Very professionally, yeah. Like, proper.
I just got a jury duty summons. I'm not excited about it. I have to go to jury duty in a couple weeks. This is the only other time I've gotten a jury duty summons. I was going to be in boot camp. So obviously, I didn't have.
Yeah.
Which, come to find out, I would have preferred. But.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sitting, even if you're telling the truth, if you're a witness and you're telling the truth in anger and frustration, to me, that's going to tell me, like, you're covering something up, you're getting defensive, like, whatever. I'm not going to want to listen to that witness, right?
Yeah.
But if you do so in love, in gentleness, with respect, I am more apt to take the word of that witness, right? You can share the truth in multiple ways. But what Jesus is saying is when you look at this world and you see lost people doing lost things, don't be quick to get angry. Don't be quick to just air out all of your opinions in anger. I mean, Proverbs warns against that. That the fool is the person who loves delighting in their opinion, right? So how do we practically do that? You've got to do that, number one. Like Ephesians 4:15 says, you have to start off with love, right? And how do you do that? Because think about who is it easy to love? Who are the people that are easy to love?
People that are kind to you, nice to you, the people, yeah, that just kind of get on your good side.
Yeah. That you agree with,
yeah.
Right? Who are the people that are hard to love?
people that have opposite opinions that are on that other side of the, yeah. your thought process.
Or the ones that are making bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, like when you see rallies for people and you know, when I say a political rally, most of the time people think of pride parades. But guys, like as a military trumpet player, I've played for tons of funerals where people were, and this amazes me, a person that, you know, paid that ultimate sacrifice and died in combat for their country so that you can have freedom of speech. And what are they doing? They're picketing at a military funeral, basically saying that you deserve this. And it amazed me. I remember the Patriot Guard. It's all these old retired veterans, and they have like a biker gang, and their whole thing is they set up in response to that. And so they basically set up a perimeter around those funerals to hold back those people. And I remember, like, at one point they walked up to me and they said, hey, if anybody comes and talks to you, don't say anything. Let us handle it. We would rather us get in trouble than you. It just amazes me sometimes. Like, and then imagine trying to love those people. You know, imagine, we talked about this on our last podcast a few weeks ago, but imagine Trump loving Biden as Jesus would love him. And that makes you want to laugh, right?
Yeah.
You know? Imagine our two very staunchly opposed political parties coming together in love. It's hard, right? It's easy for us to speak truth and love to those that we care about, those that are kind to us, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But with this story, imagine trying to love these people like Jesus, these people that are trying to basically condone. Because, like, yeah, we've got some good news, right? You know? We live to fight another day in the whole transgender battle, right? But there's still bad news here. They're still saying that it is okay to identify as another gender.
Yeah.
When scripture says that, no, it's not. And what does Romans 1 say? It says, though they not only do these things, but they give approval to those who practice them. Right? And you look at all of this, and it can really make you frustrated and angry. But that is not the response we need to take, because that just completely destroys any witness, any credibility that our witness of who Jesus is.
Absolutely.
And so, why is it so difficult for us to do this?
I mean, I think it really comes down to the whole concept of you're going out of your comfort zone. People don't like to go out of their comfort zone, and people don't like basically conflict, posing conflict in a lot of areas. And so I think it's really hard, especially in like things like this. I think it's just way easier just to be quiet. Like, it's just way easier. But when it comes down to the fact of, like, I look at it as the instance of the topic of, like, if it's an athlete in a competition, especially the fighting era, like, competition that I come from, if I had a male that transitioned to a female to fight one of my students that's a female in a tournament, I would be very concerned. Not for the fact of winning, but the fact of safety. And I think it's one of those things, too, where it's like, when you're looking at people's, where they're saying, well, this is my truth that I can be this, as it's directly opposing scripture and an actual objective truth that is God's word. It's like, it's so hard for me to, like, just.
Well, it's a tightrope.
It is. You know? It's a very fine line. That's,
it is. Because you can either lean to one side and you're on the condoning side. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, my form of loving is just ignoring it and condoning it.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of churches do that. They just give up on how they're supposed to approach this. And so what do? They're just overly, you know, that's why this concept of, no, Jesus accepts you. No. He doesn't accept you in your sin.
Yeah.
He accepts you to embrace salvation. Absolutely, he accepts all people to do that, to follow mm-hmm. him as Lord, but he doesn't accept and condone you the way you are. Oh, I've just been You know, so there's a fine line, and I've seen a lot of churches that are like, we're welcoming, and they've got a rainbow, and I guarantee you it has nothing to do with the Noahic covenant. You know, you just have a lot of people that just give up, and their form of doing this is just like apathy.
Yep.
Apathy and acceptance. It is what it is. That's one end. The other end is just brute anger, right? And brutal opposition. So how do you walk that line of loving without condoning?
Yeah. I also think, well, so much today's culture too is just, you say one little thing that irritates or even just kind of wrongly attacks somebody and they immediately, oh, you're homophobic. Oh, you're just immediately you hate us. You don't like us. And it's one of those things where it's like, no, like I still love you as a human being. I genuinely want you to find happiness, joy, to eventually like find who you are. But your identity isn't in that. It's not in your sin. It's like, I don't love sin. That goes for my own sin. I hate my own sin. And it's something we're all going to struggle with forever. And it's one of those things because we're our flesh. We're fighting our flesh daily. But it's just so much of this. I think also the world doesn't understand. They just don't look at, if you're a non-believer, you're not going to look at sin like a believer would. So it's really hard to.
It's a really tight line.
Yeah, approach people in a loving manner, but also in a loving manner, tell them, "Hey, what you're doing is wrong."
Well, it's and again, like that's where the guard's going to go up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to know, I've had family members who are Christian, and their kids come to them and say, "I don't believe in God, and I identify as opposite side." I've got really close family members that've had to deal with that. And I think as a parent, like
that's hard.
How do you walk that line of saying, man, I love you so much, but I do not condone? Like, that's a really, really hard line. Yeah. I remember, there was this tightrope walker who had spread a line before 9/11. He had spread a tightrope from one World Trade Center to the, I think they actually made a movie about it.
They did make a movie about it, yeah.
And like, man, if you fall on either side, you fall hard, right? And that's what I think of. Like, it's not like, oh, it's just a little blunder. Like, no, you could be either doing what Romans 1 says, and you can fall to the side where you're condoning people in there. And like, imagine how that feels to God. Hey, you know what? I love you. Jesus loves you. You'll figure it out. Like, oh man, like you can't do that. Like, I love you too much. And we even tell Kennedy and Tay this, like, we love them too much to allow them to disobey. And that might sound like a parenting cop out, but no, that's true. Like, I love you too much to let you, I want you to live to that higher standard that I know is better for you. So how do you do that? But then also not pass into anger, because when people disobey, when your kids disobey, whatever it may be, it's hard. It's frustrating. And so how do you just not show anger? I mean, we deal with this as parents. Like, you want your kids to obey. And it could be something as simple as cleaning up the toy. You've had to tell them 1,000 times. You've had to tell them 1,000,000 times. Hey, already told you, pick up the toy. It can get so, and it's such a small thing. But man, the more and more it happens, the more it gets under your skin. And there is this fine line where all of a sudden you don't want to just it's bad parenting to say, whatever, and I'll just pick up the toy. Whatever, we'll just leave the mess. Like, you don't want to do that, because then at that point, they're never going to learn and they're just going to keep doing it. And it's going to get worse, right? But you also don't want to just get so angry and so frustrated that you're ruling your kids out of.
Yeah.
And that's a tight rope. And especially when issues like this are out there, like, imagine how God's looking at them. Like,
yeah.
And so we've got a passage in Colossians 4. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. And it says in Colossians 4, verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer person. And I think, like, that right there, you can do an entire sermon series on those two verses. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were going to break that down, number one, if you're going to approach an outsider, And this is a person that is walking in their sin and they don't have the Spirit to tell them what they're doing is wrong. So if you're going to approach that person who's living in sin, they don't know any better. How do you first approach it? Wisdom.
Also love how it says act wisely toward outsiders. So you know you're going to talk to non-believers.
Okay, so you have to already have that expectance that they're not going to take things in the same like eyesight that you are, the same perspective.
But also this one that a lot of people, when you get into debate, argument, things like that, you don't consider is to make the most of your time. A lot of people get in arguments and you guys, we didn't go anywhere.
Such a waste of time.
Anywhere.
Yes.
And so it's like, how can you talk to somebody while making that time worth something?
And again, that's why I like verse 6, right? Because again, like you do want to make the best use of your time. Like, okay, if I've only got, you know, and this is kind of like when Paul is sitting in front of the Emperor Felix, right? Mm-hmm. Like captive audience of the Emperor. That's not going to be a long meeting.
Mm-mm.
So what is the absolute best use of my time? Paul's like, I'm not going to try and defend myself. I'm not going to try and convince him to release me from imprisonment. What did he do? He straight shared the gospel with him. And the emperor's like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Are you trying to make me a Christian? And Paul's like, well, yeah.
Might never get to talk to you again.
I might never get to talk to you again. So while I'm here, you know, that is a picture of the best use of our time.
Yeah.
Like instead of Jesus telling Nicodemus all the things that the Sanhedrin did wrong in John chapter 3, he meets with him in secret and listens to his question, right?
Mm.
The best use of his time.
Yeah.
Right. And so for us, how do we do that? And I love verse 6. Let your speech, so if you do speak, always be gracious, not angry. And I love this. Seasoned with salt. Your speech, it doesn't say that it has flavor. Salt back then was how you paid people. So Roman soldiers, there's a phrase, and it's actually still commonly used today, that a man is not worth his salt. What that means is you're not worth what I'm paying you. And that when Roman soldiers would go collect their paycheck, it would be in salt, because salt was what you used to preserve food. Salt had so many different uses for it. They didn't have refrigeration or anything like that. And so when your words are seasoned with salt, like, yes, you can think of that as adding flavor, right? You can think of it as contributing in a positive way, right? But you can also have too much salt. So what is this getting at? Getting at value. Like, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that I'm going to add value. I mean, if I say anything, it's going to add value to this. Why do you do that? It says so that you may know how you ought to answer. And this is where it's hard for us, because with issues like this, where we are so polarized, with issues like this, it is so easy for us to not answer. It's easy for us to back. Like when it comes to this kind of stuff, we are on the offensive. Nope, I'm going to fight you into Jesus, right? I'm going to beat you into submission. But what this passage is saying is it has nothing to do with what you're saying. It has everything to do with what you're hearing. You're processing it. You're making the best use of your time. That way you may know how you ought to. Right? And how many of us use evangelism? Most of the time when we evangelize to people, we just come in with what we even have to say. And that's most of the time why we're nervous. Don't want to tell people about Jesus because what am I going to say? But what if you just walk up to someone and say, hey, what do you believe happens after this life? And based off of their response, guess what happens? You now know how to answer them. I just think we come back and turn into beef. Interesting. Instead of just saying, are you a Christian? Say, hey, what do you believe is the meaning of life? You know, and when we go to these people that especially are expecting Christians to be against them, angry at them, all of those kinds of things, because unfortunately that's what they've seen. They've seen too much of an angry church. When you can walk into that, it doesn't matter if a person is homosexual, if they're an alcoholic, if they are a compulsive liar, if they're a murderer. It does not matter what sin it is. James chapter 2 says, if you keep the entire law but break one part of it, you've broken all of it. So brokenness is brokenness. But regardless of that, the number one thing they need is not, how do I talk to my friend who's a homosexual? How do I talk to my friend who's an alcoholic? Same way you would talk to anybody else. The first thing that they need is Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit will work that stuff out of them.
Yeah. I think especially as believers, we go into conversations so much with, like, I know especially, like, I'll get on it, like, you get into the just talking to someone and it becomes apologetics, or like, you now you feel like you have to try to convince them that Christianity your way is better. And it's like, that is not our job, because so many times we're going into a conversation where these people are already closed off. And what you're saying is just, it's just hitting a wall. And so it's one of those things where, like, every conversation we have, that's not going to make your time worth. That's not going to, it's not going to change your heart. It's not going to do anything. You're, it's not even our purpose in that area. Our whole purpose.
What does apologetics mean? Defense.
Yeah.
Not offense.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where we're there to plant seeds and let the Lord grow and work. And so it's like one of those things where if I try to look at it as like a conversation where it's like, if I can just plant or help this person understand that, like, there's one little thought that Jesus loves them, then I know that the Lord will stick that in their brain, or that the Lord will work within them. Not the fact that I have to prove Jesus through creation. I have to prove that scripture wasn't twisted, or that we have a Bible that comes from this and that is actually backed by artifacts and all this history and all this stuff, where it's like, no, it's just like so many people, like on the plane from Africa, there's that one lady sitting next to, and I was just like, my whole question was like, how do you, because she believed in God, and that was, it could be Muhammad, it could be Jesus, it could be anything that she wanted. And my whole thing was like, well, what hope do you have in life? And she was like, well, what do you mean by that? I was like, what do you look forward to? Like, what gives you hope in life? Like, what do you feel your purpose? What do you feel gives you hope? Wake up in the day, like, what drives you every single day? She couldn't answer it. And I was like, I have a God that loves me, that gives me hope. He gives me purpose. He helps me every single day. When I'm in my lowest of lows, he pulls me out every single time. And it's one of those things where it's okay. Like, I don't have to drill anything to her, and it's not even my purpose to do that. It's just God has, through evidence, helped mine change my life. And I just, I hope that for you. I want that for you.
Well, and there's a diagnosing process, right? Like, you don't walk into the doctor and he's like, I'm going to fix you. Like, well, you haven't done anything. Like, how do you know what I have is wrong? It doesn't matter. I'm just going to get in there and fix you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to know.
Or even so many people, too, go into conversations where, like, they start dropping all this theology stuff and all this, and it goes right over people's heads. Yes. And it's like, that does no purpose. Like,
Well, and Jesus is willing to take questions mm-hmm. and answers. And, you know, like, even with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he's like, well, what do you mean born again?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I can't go back into my mother's womb, right? And Jesus isn't impatient with him. He's very patient, very gentle, and he just explains it to him, right? Yeah. And again, I think the more that we are willing to take down our arms, so to speak, our weapons, because mm-hmm. The sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God, right? We're using that. And everything else is defensive. The breastplate of righteousness, all that kind of stuff is for defense. The shield. It's all
defense.
Even
our own words aren't, that's not supposed to be our offense. Like, it's so God's much words. We feel that we have to be offensive and talk and do this. And it's like, no, it clearly shows that this is your only offense that you should be using.
And again, like, look at what Jesus did in the wilderness when he was tempted. He didn't say, I don't know if I should do this. He was just like, as it's written. And then he would quote scripture.
Mm-hmm.
As it's written, he would quote scripture. You know, and so the more you know that. But again, like, you have to understand that even scripture for a person that's completely lost, you've got to be able to listen to where they are so you can diagnose and help them, right? Mm-hmm. And we have this concept of double-fisted faith. And if you've gone through Rooted, or if you haven't yet, this is actually something that's talked about.
I love this concept.
It comes from the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
mm-hmm.
where they say they have two fists. And in one fist, they tell Nebuchadnezzar, God will save us. But in the other fist, it says, but even if he does it, we will not bow down to your gods, right? And I love that picture here, because God can save you, but even if not, I'm not going to condone what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can love you without condoning what you're doing. I can mm-hmm. I can care about you. I can show compassion without saying that what you're doing is okay.
And it's even like the whole aspect, too, where it's like, I know I have a God that's powerful enough to take care of me, but even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God is ultimately, like, in control, and he knows what's best, period. And so it's like the fact that they were still had that such tight faith in both hands that
It was so cool. Like, yeah, I love
just
that.
Complete trust.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like you have to understand how to walk that line. And again, like this could be something like parenting. This could be something like political views. You have to be so mindful of your witness, because imagine if you're an angry parent, kids aren't going to want to listen to anything you have to say about who Jesus is, because you'll tell them about a Jesus that's loving and all that kind of stuff, and then they just see you angry. And I struggle with that, right? I mean, it's so hard when you see people doing things, kids doing things. I mean, even the students in the youth group, when you just constantly see people that you love making bad choices, it is so easy for that to pass into anger.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not a good use of your time. In fact, that's going to take you backwards.
Yeah.
And so instead, man, what do we need? We need those fruits of the Spirit. We need that prayer. We need to realize that you've messed up too, right? That you've done things wrong as well. And it might be flavored differently. It might look differently from what they're doing. But if God can save you, God can save them. And so if that's your goal, if your goal is seeing the lost be found, don't choose anger.
Mm-hmm.
Don't choose apathy, where you just, well, somebody else will deal with it. But man, seek the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
Walk patiently and gentle with people. Listen to what they have to say. Don't just get so caught up in talking.
Yeah.
You know, and I even think, like, as a parent, like, instead of just, you know, taking an opportunity of saying, why are you struggling so much with this? Because it could be a distraction that you can easily remove. And okay, now we're back on ground zero, you know? If they're not going to sleep at nap time, why are you struggling with this? I'm not tired yet. Easy, let's just shift that, you know? Why are you struggling with this? Well, because my dad was never in the picture. Okay, now we can, now we've got something to work with here. And so just be quicker to listen and way slower to speak, and look at brokenness with a broken heart and not annoyance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, keep praying for our world. That's the number one thing, is that as these things, we know it's going to end at some point, right?
Especially for our schools where we have all these kids that there's so much influence, and it's so hard. It's so hard. They go through a ton, especially in the high school. It's like there's so much positive and just terrible influence out there, and it's very difficult. So I love whenever I see like little Bible ministries and stuff in schools, like I love that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I want those to flourish, but it's also like who's leading it, like keep it going, like keep them strong. It's
and find a way in. I mean, that's one thing that we learned a lot in South Africa, is there is a way in, and if not, they were asking us to pray for a way in. You know,
like even Chad, talking to him.
Coaching, and I've actually thought about coaching because that's his way into one of the schools. Or Senzo doing one of his Bible studies inside. The school has trusted him, not during school hours, but after school hours, to use the school for a little Bible study group. But that gets keep people from that community in there.
Yeah.
And so again, like if your heart is to see the lost be found, then you got to walk in wisdom. You need God's guidance. You need gentleness. You need compassion. You need to look at lost people like God does, with a broken heart, and realizing that they don't have the Spirit to tell them what they're doing is wrong. And they need that first. And then you walk with them through that discipleship process and help them choose what God would have for them. So anyway, we've missed you guys. Thank you for those that have stuck with us even through all of the technical difficulties and Jeremy running out. And you know, it was quite a week back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Dude, as soon as we got here, boots on the ground, ready to go, we had to do stuff.
Yeah, it's quite a day back from the podcast, so hopefully we can figure out our camera stuff and we keep moving forward. But thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
And have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.